Welcome to episode 32 of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Planetverse. With me today is the illustrious Steve Morton.
Hello, hi, Steve. Good afternoon.
I am Karina Tovmasyan, and we are hosting a very important episode today, the proper storage, care, and shipping of planners, inserts, rings, and all that entails. Steve, I look to you longingly today, knowing that you will have answers to our questions of how do we properly care and store and ship our planners, and I'm sure you've got some.
I have plenty of those. my sort of learning, if you like, goes back 40 years or more, almost. Well, not quite 40 years. I suppose in actual real time, it was most probably sometime in 1976-77. During my training as a lad, part of my training was to go into the dispatch department in the Foreign Office, where you had to pack parcels all day, listening to brass band music and wonderful things like this.
That would have been my dream job. I love
and all
packaging.
And you got a brown coat. You wore a brown coat.
Oh, yeah. Did they have little trolleys on which
absolutely.
They
put the mail? Absolutely. You were there in amongst all that. This packing material and, you know, guns with foam and all sorts of stuff. It was real sort of heavy duty stuff. But primarily, it was to ensure, you know, why did I end up in the packing department of the Foreign Office? They sent you around all these different departments so that they knew that when you got posted abroad, as I eventually did, you knew how to request things from stores, how to pack equipment that needed returning for repair, because we couldn't repair everything on site wherever we were in the world, etc., etc. So you had a good grounding. Okay, you're only in there for a couple of weeks or so, but you got the essentials in that 2 weeks in all the different departments to know how to deal with things, you know, how to do things properly, how to make sure that the thing was going to survive. And we're talking of a long time ago, and not many things were air freighted. They tended to be shipped by, you know, sea freight in some cases.
Post was a lot more serious back then, wasn't it? It just seems like it's gotten a lot more lighty today, frighty. Everybody's just, whatever, ship it. But it was a very hardcore industry back in the 70s, and people took it seriously, and if the postmaster raised an eyebrow at you, then you had trouble coming your way.
These guys used to wrap things in tar paper, which is paper with a layer of, you know, thin layer of bitumen between the layers of paper.
Yeah.
And every time you sort of cut this paper, all the blade was as black as anything. It looked terrible. You got it on your
fingers,
you couldn't get it off. But the idea was, is you packed a parcel with this stuff, and if, as long as all the joints were all taped up, you, in theory, you could throw it into the dock, into the water, and it would come out again. The parcel might look a bit, you know, wet and all the rest of it, but inside was dry and still serviceable. That was the idea. We never tested it, of course, but it would have been fun to try.
We should maybe do that as part of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Planetverse. We should try and test these modus and see if they will work today.
That's, you know, if that's the background, it's in sort of heavy, you know, sort of electronic equipment of one description or another. And it sort of varied into going into big, you know, wooden packing cases and rather than just cardboard boxes. So to sort of bring this into a real sort of everyday sort of up-to-date and planner type things of how you should pack planners to make sure they get from one place to another, be it from sort of Europe to America or vice versa, or just internally within the US or within Europe or whatever. There's a lot of simply the packing materials, you know, advanced considerably over the years, and you can, you know, you as an individual can now walk into your local stationery store in your own town and obtain most of the things you'll need in terms of, you know, strong boxes, mailing boxes, the stuff to put inside the packing box to make sure that the planner whatever sort of planet it is, will actually survive the rigors of the post office, because I'm sure they play football with them sometimes.
The rule that I have heard, and this stands fast for me, is imagine an 800-pound gorilla sitting on the box you are sending out. If you are comfortable knowing that a gorilla will be sitting on the box at some point, then you have shipped it properly. If you are uncomfortable, then you probably need to rethink your shipping method.
I've received, you know, a variety of planners over the years here, and I've been amazed that some of them have survived as well as they did, considering how light the packing was. You know, literally, in some cases, they were literally just stuffed into a padded envelope and put in the post. But, mm-hmm. you know, you get lucky sometimes, and sometimes you don't get so lucky. But in most cases, most people,
it happens.
You know, have got a reasonable idea. Because you can walk, well, certainly true, as far as I know, in the case of the British Postal Service, and I'm sure the UK Postal Service, they'll actually sell you a box, which includes the postage to wherever and or not, that sort of thing. So that sometimes can actually work out as sort of a slightly better way of doing it. Or you can just walk into a stationery store and buy a flat-packed box.
So take me to the steps. If I want to mail a planner out, somebody has purchased a planner that I am no longer loving and caring for, the first thing I need to do is
definitely
probably
remove the inserts off. If it's a ringed planner, remove the inserts off the rings.
Yeah.
Because whilst the thing works quite happily on your desk and all the rest of it, if it just drops off your desk to the floor, don't be too surprised if the rings suddenly pop open and spill your inserts all over the place. The result of that when it's in a box with the cover closed, of course, is the rings don't quite... They might partially open and then close again, but by that time the pages have moved a little bit.
Mm.
Or even worse, the rings will pop off the mounting points and you'll end up with a set of rings some rattling around in the box somewhere, would you?
And that explains why sometimes when people order planners from Amazon, for example, they'll get that one ring that looks like it's been pried apart, and whereas it had been probably placed correctly in the box, but the inserts were still in the rings. And so if you want to maintain it, and we're talking about the compactness of paper and the weight that it has once it's dropped on the actual rings, right?
So if you're shipping a planner, a ringed planner with inserts, best thing to do is to take those inserts off the rings, pop them in just an ordinary envelope, and then sandwich it inside the planner by all means, but it's then not on the rings. The paper envelope is free to move independently of the actual binder, as it were.
Right.
Then pack that, you know, wrap that in some bubble wrap or some...
I used to put bubble wrap in between my rings and snap them shut. Do you recommend that?
You can do, but it's more important to actually wrap the external side of it. And if you've got these little polystyrene sort of peanuts, as I call them, the little tiny sort of annoying things that spout everywhere whenever you open a box.
Yeah, stick to your clothes as you're trying to get them
off. And they stick to you and whatever. Put them in a Ziploc bag and then pop the Ziploc bag on the rings, because then it holds it in place. Yep. The peanuts don't go spreading all over the place because they're contained within the bag.
Yep.
And it gives the whole thing a nice sort of padded internally. Then put sort of some extra padding around the outside as well.
Now, I used to work for a lady that did preserves, and so we would ship glass jams out to people. And one of the things I learned about packing is that when you're dealing with bubble wrap, the bubbles ought to go on the outside of the thing that you are wrapping. In other words, there's two sides to the bubble wrap. There's a flat part, and then there's the bubbly part. The bubbly part needs to be on the outside of whatever it is you are wrapping so that when it bangs up against a sharp corner or a wall, it explodes, thereby creating the safety mechanism to prevent the actual item from exploding or bumping or cracking. So some people wrap with the bubbles on the inside thinking they're protecting their item. But in fact, what you're trying to do is create this hanging space so that the item that you are shipping is securely bumped by either the wrapping paper or the bubble wrap or the polystyrene peanuts or whatever it is that you've got. And so keep that in mind, is that you're trying to create a manufactured suspension of this thing so that it's suspended in the middle of the box of whatever it is you're sending. Keep that in mind.
What I also try to do to make sure that the actual item, even once it's packed, isn't too loose in the box that you're putting it into. That then will, you know, pad the thing out, stick some extra bubble wrap or some newspaper or something like that. Roll up newspapers, you know, quite just as effective as most things, just for padding out space in boxes, because you never get an ideal size box. And then once you've done that, then make sure that you use plenty of parcel tape on the outside of the box to make sure that you've literally covered all of the seams of that box, so if it does get dunked in water, water's not going to find its way inside, and things like that. So it's a fairly sort of common sense, I suppose, to a certain extent. But the key thing with a ring bound planner is to remove the inserts from the rings. Anything you do after that is just sort of pretty much
makes a whole world
standard
of difference.
Packing practice, if you like.
Well, also, don't please, in the name of everything holy, people who are shipping planners, don't put your ringed planner in an envelope, in a padded envelope, and say, have a nice day. That's a sure way to have it dead on arrival. please put things in boxes. You can still use a padded
envelope,
but something
else.
Put that padded envelope inside a box. Don't get stingy on shipping. If the planner costs more than you're willing to lose, then insure it. That's another common sense thing. Some people don't insure their planners.
Yeah, obviously you need to sort of make sure that when you're shipping the thing, you make sure the thing's adequately insured. Because if it's one you've sold to someone, they've paid you for this item already, and you want to make sure the thing gets there in the same condition it left you. Because otherwise you're liable for it, aren't you? So
that's right. And keep your receipts.
Oh, yeah.
That's another tip I would have, is keep the receipts until the person has said that they've received
Good idea to also photograph the thing as well.
Photograph it as it's going into the box and as it's leaving.
So
right?
You know what,
so that people can see the condition that it was in.
In terms of everyday storage and everyday care, there's some problems or potential problems here depending on what your planner is made of, and this is sort of fairly universal now because how the pages are held together is immaterial. We're now looking at the outside of your planner, the treatment that the leather has received, and if you're storing several planners, as one happens to have to my right, you have to be careful about what is pressed up against what in terms of surface-to-surface problems. I've seen, and there was a recent question, which I've not yet replied to yet, about the Filofax Original. The outside surface of those is slightly prone to taking the mating surface of an adjacent book, planner, surface or whatever, and discolouring the colour of the planner in some way. What's causing it, I don't honestly know. But, and I don't honestly have a sort of foolproof answer as to how to stop that from happening, because, you know, if you were to put it into, like, a cotton bag, for instance, they may then suffer from like a sort of like a crisscross pattern on the surface, for all I know.
Right. They have a propensity to absorb whatever design, including the plastic wrapper that they come with. I know many people that want to leave those plastic wrappers on, and then they find, sadly, a couple of weeks later, that the plastic has transferred onto the leather.
Yeah,
And you
it's only
don't
there
please
to
take the
sort
plastic
of,
covers off people. They're
it's
meant
not
to be
intended
thrown
for
away.
long-term storage. In a way,
That's right.
the old method of, the tissue paper or something like that, if it's long-term storage, not just you're not in and out of the thing every 5 minutes sort of thing. But be aware of what your sort of planners are being stored against, or were they, on the surface of a table or something like that. Make sure you wipe the table first, for instance. It's a simple thing, I know, but who knows that little Johnny's jammy fingerprint is on that sort of countertop, and you've suddenly put your planner on there without thinking about it.
Well, and then remember, some planners are not leather. And so I've found some people wanting to store their non-leather planners next to leather planners, and therein lies another rub, literally, because you've got to make sure that you know how that's going to affect the planner sitting next to it. Now, as far as keeping planners, I noticed weather makes a big difference as well, and geographic location.
Humidity.
So, for example, humidity is a huge impact. I received some planners where people said they were in perfect condition, and of course, once I removed the rings, there was an enormous amount of rust underneath or pitting starting to happen. And how do you deal with that? Can you remove the rust? Is it possible to?
The problem with the ring mechanism is it's predominantly made of steel, and it's been polished. The surface has been polished. It's not chrome, as might be just polished steel. Under normal sort of average humidity, and with the oils on your fingers, they prevent the steel from going rusty, but you do end up in the situation, and I've seen it on a couple of planners where you get like surface rust on the rings, and it doesn't look very pretty. It makes the sort of little where the holes in your paper goes through, and where you wrote moving the paper backwards and forwards, that the paper ends up slightly brown and all the rest of it. So you think, oh, that's a bit horrible. Now my tip there, and I think I might have done a video on this at some point, is to use drafting tape. The sort of paint that you use for masking around windows and things when you're doing painting.
Yeah,
Painter's
painter's
tape.
tape.
Painter's tape, masking tape, drafting tape, call it what you want. It's paper tape. It's almost like washi tape.
Washi tape.
And what I do is you buy this tape, and you use it when you're doing painting, for putting it at the edge of your carpet,
Yeah, normally it's blue in
whatever. So
color.
it
I've seen it
comes
in other colors, but
in
normally it's
different
blue.
widths and what have you. You only want sort of about inch wide or thereabouts. Put it either side of your ring mechanism. So if you can't get the rings out, they're stuck in there. The paper tape will prevent any sort of, so if you're using any cleaning materials and stuff like that will stop any of that getting onto the leather or onto the if it's a
Okay.
textile planner on the inside, it'll stop it
Yeah.
that getting on there as well. And just basically use any metal, some form of metal polish, nothing abrasive. Start at the least abrasive end of things first, and work your way up the scale, depending on how badly
Yeah.
rusted,
Of
yeah,
aggressivity.
how
Yeah.
badly rusted things are.
I've been told that basic white toothpaste with an old toothbrush would work in being able to remove some of that just initial rust. I know my old Piccadillys had that, and it was just from aging. It really was, and nobody had
No.
abused it or anything, but it was just sort of sitting there and absorbing the humidity and the salt air.
You can get
So,
Brasso or metal polish which comes on in like a fabric wadding soaked in sort of some sort. That works quite well. You'd be surprised how much rust you can actually remove just with a metal polish and a lot of elbow grease. If that doesn't work, then you need to go a little stage further up the scheme of things with a bit of wire wool. steel wool.
Okay, that works.
Again, it's not.
So how do you store your planners, Steve?
I store most of them. If they do have boxes, I store them in the boxes, in tissue paper where possible.
Are the boxes standing up on end or are they flat?
They're on end in most cases. Occasionally, there's a few flat ones. Some of them I don't have boxes for, so they're just sort of not quite pushed in together, but not pushed in too tightly together. They do get sort of a bit of airing every so often. And I do sort of remove them from the cupboard at least once a year, just to check them over and stuff, because it's surprising how much, if you're not careful, it's quite easy for something to get pressed up against the back of one against another, and you end up with an indent in the leather if you're not careful. So I tend to sort of sort through them and make sure that they've got plenty of space between them where possible.
I keep mine standing on end as if I were storing books.
Yeah.
I don't keep them in the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do anything special. I do make sure that there's about 2 or 3 millimeters of space between them, so that they don't feel crunched in there. And I realize I use the word feel. And yes, my planners feel a certain way. Mm. And so I want to make sure that there is enough room in there to look like they fit, but not enough room so that they're flopping about. But at the same time, I also use my planners to store extra inserts. Mm. And I have to check sometimes to make sure that the inserts aren't folding incorrectly or aren't lopsiding, because paper has a tendency to not want to stand upright and has a tendency to want to curl. Mm. And so what do you do with your inserts?
Inserts I store separately in most cases. I've got different... I've bought some simple plastic boxes, which are used for storing kitchen things normally, for the different sizes of inserts. I've stored them like that. But I've got one particular leather organizer, which dates from the 1980s. This thing is so soft and supple that when it's empty and you just put it onto a shelf vertically,
the
thing all curls all over the place.
Wow.
And it was getting into real bad shape. So what I've done in the case of that one is I grabbed all the different coloured pages that I could find in my box and put them into that organiser. So it's actually got something inside it. And I put something...
Yeah,
and
to
I put
give
some,
it support.
Cardboard stiffeners into the actual pots in the cover to give them some sort of structure as well. You can take them out. They're not sewn in or glued in or anything. They just slid into the cover pockets.
Right, right. They're just there for temporary support.
And that seems to solve that one. Yeah. That one seems to... it's restored itself in a way. I keep them in the boxes, basically, because if I didn't keep them in the boxes, I'd have to find somewhere else to store the boxes, and that would drive me absolutely nuts.
Well, what do you do with rings? Do you have extra
rings
running around?
Oh, yeah, they're in another cupboard.
Are they all just living in
they're
a box
just on a
or
shelf
in a cupboard?
I need to get a box for those, because it's getting ridiculous, the number of different ones. But again, it's surprising. Yeah. I suddenly think, oh, yeah, I've got a set of 25s. I could just swap across to do this, do that. And therefore, I do need to sort of, every time I open this door, I get showered upon with...
I can only imagine. Yeah. I bet Allison never wants to.
No, she didn't go in that cupboard. No, no, no. It's a horror story.
Now, what other paraphernalia do you have that are related to your planners that you need to keep storage tabs on?
Inserts is obviously one thing. Let me just have a quick look. Gingerly opens the door. Inserts definitely I keep separately because... again, with me, I've got lots of different sizes of inserts. Not that I'm actually using all of them, admittedly. But if I'm doing blog posts about, something in personal size compared to something in pocket size, it's nice to see an organizer with some paper in it. It might not be
might not be
a current year of insert in pocket size, but I have, it might be 2 or 3 years old by now. But I always keep an old one just in case I need to put something in, just purely for show, admittedly. But
That's going to be my next project, I think. I have B5 desk fax paper running around.
Mm.
I've got A5s, I've got personal, and I've got some pocket inserts. I think my goal is to try and get them all into a little container that has the different sizes. But I'm going to lay them flat, the way that paper is stored when you buy it in a ream or in a box. Mm-hmm. You see that paper never comes standing up. It's always laying flat because it allows the paper to not curl on end when it's like that. And I think that's one of the storage mechanisms I want to employ for all of my inserts, is to just have them all in one container, but separate them by size so that I can quickly access them.
My personal one are in a box, a plastic box, stored on end, on their edge.
Uh-huh.
And then I've actually I got a set of cheap dividers, different coloured dividers, and I was able to label them. You know, this is, you know, lined, plain.
Oh, so like very large index cards.
Yeah, so they're almost sort of in like an like a filing system almost, and I can just sort of pick out the pages I need as and when.
Well, I use washi tape as well, and I know some people were shocked on the Planarology page when I mentioned that a while back. It's not a crime, people. Washi tape is okay. We can use washi tape. And so I have a roll I will show you, Steve, because I know that you'll be able to see it.
Oh, look at
it's
this.
It's a roll.
You will have to have a photograph of that.
And so it spins. Will you take one? Because my
like
hands
a
are full.
Well, you do a photograph offline. Be easy. So like a carousel.
Oh, offline. I'll
it's
do
a, you want to see this thing. It's a marvelous.
It's a carousel of washi tape. It's just happiness.
It's like a Rolodex of.
It is a Rolodex of washi tape. That's a very good way of looking at it. I love this thing. I got it from a Greek fellow off Etsy, and he knows what he's talking about. And it's got little teeth here so that you can trim.
Incredible.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you just
I
pull
love
off
it.
The bit you, if you want.
I like to make, I just pull off the one that I'm using at the moment, and I want to make sure that I don't have more washi tape than I can use, because that really frustrates me. Washi tape tends to breed if it's in a quiet dark drawer. Yeah, so I want to make sure that if I do have extras, they don't fit on this roll of Rolodex of washi tape, then I just sell them off or give them away as gifts and move on with it. Another thing that I want to make sure I keep storage on is my shears. I have a few sets of scissors and hole punchers and corner cutters that I use, and those need regular maintenance. I don't know if anybody knows, but particularly if you're cutting sticky or tacky things, that glue transfers off onto the blade, and the blades need to be sharpened, and otherwise they go dull on you. So do you maintain your
shears? Keep all my punches in one particular drawer on the other side of my desk where I've got a variety of hole punches and what have you. So I keep them there, and I'm constantly, whenever I finish using them, I tend to do sort of fairly intensive, printing and punching sessions. It's very rare I'm only ever sort of punch one page at a time. I tend to always sort of empty the thing and make sure that all the holes are clear and make sure that there's... I've been told punching aluminium foil will sharpen the...
I was told that too.
I've never tried it.
I found that it depends on the machinery. Yeah. I think if you have a high quality machine, then you may end up getting some better results. For example, the Swingline brand of punchers is quite good. But I had a hand puncher that didn't want to get sharpened at all using the foil system. And it's upsetting because you've invested all this money and now you have to either... You can't replace the blade on some of those. They're irreplaceable. But I do take my scissors out and send them off to a sharpener once a year. And I find that to be tremendous, as well as knives. Mm. It's a very interesting procedure to be able to get those back up to working state again.
Yeah. Allison has... different sets of scissors for different purposes, and Holby told me if I ever go near her sewing scissors, no, definitely not.
Yeah, make sure you take care of your equipment. Your equipment will take
care
of you.
Paper blunt scissors and quite quickly, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. Man in France found dead next to blunt scissors. I can see that now. So that about does it for me as far as how to take care of my planners. I just make sure that there's air, that they can breathe, that they feel comfortable. Yes, I know my planners feel things. I don't like them to look crowded or cluttered, and so I do tidy up quite frequently. And I never have more than two shelves at the moment of planners, two small shelves.
Mine's only three shelves in the cupboard.
And my shelves are
Oh,
1 foot by
I couldn't
1 foot,
tell you what
so they're very small.
the
So, Steve, what other tips do you have for us?
Have
Anything
I
else?
forgotten anything? I don't think I have. I think we've covered. The thing is it doesn't harm to overpack something. It potentially does
Yes.
if you underpack something. It might cost you
Yes.
fractionally more to if you've overpacked it and it ends up like a rugby ball, but it'll get there. And the person at the other end will curse you if you receive one of mine, because it'll be so well packed you won't you have to fight your way into it.
Yeah, it's been packed so well you cannot open the packaging at all. It just has to stay packed now.
In
You'll never get to your planner. Where can we find you,
the
Steve?
usual place of filofaxi.com and travelersnotebooktimes.com.
And you can find me at planerology.com or at on Instagram at Karina Tovmasyan. Come join us. That was very deep, Steve. You should send that into Reader's Digest. They've got a page for people like you.